Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hello, welcome to the latest episode of Tripe Supper live on the Gazette Facebook page and later on a podcast channel. If that's where you're listening to, please remember to like and subscribe. Leave us a little review if you can and share amongst your borough, supporting friends and family. I'm joined by Dom, Sean, you guys and lasses will be glad to know it should be the last episode for a wee while where we're not joined by Craig Johns because he returns at the end of the week after a well-deserved break. So he will be covering that Blackburn game on the weekend, but there's plenty to talk about before we get to that point. And Dom, we'll start where I think most people will be concerned about, not concerned, but most interested in, and that is of course the window, transfer window, 6 days left. Just give us a little understanding of where you think Borough stand at the moment before we go on and talk about a few targets.
Well, Borough obviously hoping for a busy final 5 or 6 days. The way they were at really at the weekend, in that the two or three are hoping, the Borough hoping to get two or three in, and there's still the likelihood of certainly Chuba Akpom going before Tuesday's deadline, and most probably two or three young lads out on loan as well. So I think it's going to be quite a busy final few days really, but not a mad dash. These are things that have kind of been in the pipeline now for certainly days, in terms of the deals being very close to being completed, and weeks in terms of negotiations being carried out. So I mean, the Andras Sporar one is the obvious place to start. Craig has from his holidays provided an update on that this morning. Obviously, there was complications to that, which Neil Warnock alluded to after the game at Derby on Saturday. But despite reports from Portugal, there's been conflicting reports really over the last few days. And I think one of the most recent reports yesterday claimed that it was an issue with the wages. But that's not the case. Craig reported this morning that financially the deal is wrapped up. It's more a case of Sporar getting the green light to move, and there's a tax and customs issue that needs resolving. So that Borough are confident that that's going to be wrapped up before the end of the week. It was never likely to play against Blackburn on Saturday. The likelihood is it's going to be done before the end of the week, hopefully. Then he'll go away on international duty and then join up with Borough afterwards.
Fingers crossed that one gets sorted. You mentioned there Chuba Akpom set to move to POK in Greece. Just explain what's happened there. I mean, last season he was quite the regular, so how has he fallen out of favour? Was it just one of those where Warnock's looked at it and thought, well, we need to sacrifice to make room or get a bit of funds in, get wages off the bill? He's the one that is going to get sacrificed.
I think it was clear. He played... he wasn't first choice last season. It's hard to decide who was first choice last season because there was injuries and a lack of form and a lack of options really. But it was clear at the end of the season that all wasn't well, I think, with Akpom, and the Warnock had made some comments about how it was clear he'd struggled and talked about not signing players from video again and without watching them in the flesh. Come the summer, when it was clear that Warnock was prioritising signing, I mean, at the start of the summer, he talked about wanting to bring three centre-forwards in, even if it's two. You would say now that Josh Coburn's above Akpom in the pecking order. And Warnock has said in recent weeks, so he said after one friendly that, you know, it's no secret that if we get an offer that kind of ticks our boxes, then we won't stand in Chuba's way. He said that it's no secret that Chuba's not going to play regularly. If he wants to play regularly, he needs to look elsewhere. And then he said after Derby on Saturday that he didn't include him in the squad at Pride Park because he was disappointed with what he saw from Akpom when he was introduced from the bench against QPR on Wednesday. I look at it as, you know, you look at the way things have gone over the, over his year, but really over the last few months, I just think it suits all parties for Akpom to move on, be it loan to start with, or, you know, whatever, loan or permanent. I'm not 100% sure. But I think he's not going to play and he needs to play. It's clearly, you know, clearly all isn't well there. And I think, you know, out of sight, out of mind, maybe sounds a bit too harsh, but you know what I'm trying to get at. I just think it's gonna suit everyone for him to move on. And I feel, you know, I do feel for Akpom because I don't think he was perfectly suited to, you know, I look at Ikpeazu this year and I think, yeah, there's a striker who's gonna make the most of Borough's approach under Warnock. I didn't think that was ever the case with Akpom. That said, I don't think he helped himself either. I regularly kind of came away from games like thinking, well, what did Akpom offer up there? And the same would be said of Brittason Belonga last year. It just didn't work up front at all. And we've said on numerous occasions in print and on the podcast that, you know, to make Borough tick as an attacking force, you need a centre-forward who suits the system and then everything else fits around. I think in Ikpeazu, they've got that this year.
You mentioned there what Warnock said after the Derby County game. Got the quote here, and he just says, he wasn't here today. I didn't think he contributed enough much the other night, so I gave him the weekend off. Short, brutal, straight to the point. Very much worn it, I guess. And when he says something like that, that's the card marked, isn't it? We've got a few questions.
Pictures, just very quickly, sorry. Some pictures did emerge overnight. It looks as though Akpom's in Greece, finalising that return to PAOK where Borough signed him from. So that might well move quite quickly in the next few days.
We've got a few questions, Dom, in the comments about the Dutch guy. So I'm assuming Phil here is talking about Mitchell van Bergen. So just give a little bit of an update on what's happening with that deal.
Yeah, so we know van Bergen, the deal was agreed at the back end of last week. Van Bergen last week described Borough as an interesting club. I think what he meant by that is kind of, you know, it's an intriguing, interesting prospect for him to come and join Borough in the Championship. That was before a deal was agreed. Then a deal was agreed, and Heeren Veen's manager, the kind of expectation was that van Bergen wouldn't be in the squad on Saturday. He trained alone on Friday, and the kind of feeling, speaking to those who cover Heeren Veen and who know the kind of ins and outs of the club, the feeling was that he played his last game. And then I think a few eyebrows were raised when he was in the squad on Saturday for Heeren Veen's game. But Johnny Jansen, their manager, confirmed afterwards that he was actually in because he wanted to give him a farewell to fans. He's played 99 games for Heeren Veen. So in an ideal world, he was gonna bring him on and kind of give him the farewell. At half time, that looked ideal because Heeren Veen were 3-0 up. But then RKC, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce the name of the team they were playing, got it back to 3-2, so he didn't get the opportunity to do that. But Jansen said then that he fully expects van Bergen to leave and to join Borough. As far as we're aware, Borough are the only club in for van Bergen, or certainly the only, not the only club interested, but the only club to have agreed a deal. So it's just a case of getting that one over the line now. But Borough are hopeful of getting that one done as well. In terms of Chris's question there, what do you think of van Bergen as a player? I don't know a lot about him, I've got to be honest. And I think that's the beauty of this. That's why this transfer window, I think, has been so interesting and also exciting as a fan and as someone who watches the club, because there is an intrigue, isn't there, around players coming in who we don't know a lot about. I've seen clips, I'm sure like you have, Chris, but that's all. I wasn't aware of him as a player before the name cropped up this summer. But, you know, we're told he's comfortable on both flanks and that he'll add some pace in the attack. And it is an area, clearly, that Borough need to strengthen. Sami Amiobi's obviously still out injured. We don't know when he's going to come back. Isaiah Jones has been a revelation and really has bailed Borough out in that attacking area, because with Watmore and Tavernier out, Warnock could have been really short if Jones hadn't come to the fore like he has done.
I don't want to give Borough fans a nightmare, but obviously the last big profile name signed from Heerenveen didn't quite go to plan. And I mean, that was Afonso Alves. great record in the Dutch league. He came, didn't he, Dom, with quite the price tag, and it didn't quite work at the Riverside. Do we think this one's going to go a little bit better?
You know what? If I don't know whether Mark Drury of BBC Tees listens to this or watches this. I hope he does. But me and Mark regularly argue about Alves, because I maintain there was definitely a player there. You know, I thought we saw more than enough in the end of the at the back end of his first season when he scored his double against Man United and his hat trick against Man City. I mean, obviously it didn't go to plan the following year, but it was a difficult year for Borough, wasn't it? It was kind of a team in transition that didn't click and found themselves. You know, we know what it's like. You see a team every year, don't they, where once they get into that rut and start sliding and can't find results, it's so difficult to get out of. And when you're a centre forward with kind of big expectations and a big price tag trying to adapt, and the pressure's on, it's obviously not an ideal time to settle in. So, yeah, look, you know, the goal machine banner obviously didn't turn out to be reality, but yeah, I felt a bit for Afonso.
In terms of Van Berger, I mean, you say obviously you haven't seen him, I haven't seen him play, and I'm sure lots of people watching this and listening to it haven't either. But what about Warnock? Is that come from, has he kind of hinted at where the interest has come from? Has he seen him? Has a trusted source seen him? How do you think this deal's come about?
Well, obviously, the Warnock's comments at the weekend kind of were interesting in that he said that one's nothing to do with him. I think what's been clear this summer is Borough kind of, there's almost two categories of players, and I think this is why it's been such an interesting summer, really. There's two categories of players Borough have gone after. There's kind of the tried and tested EFL players with that bit of kind of championship snarl and now the likes of Matt Crooks and Nick Piezu, obviously Lee Peltier and Sol Bamba coming in armed with all that experience. And then there's kind of the unknown quantities, Martin Piero, Andras Sparrar, Mitchell Van Bergen, and they're just the ones we know about. You know, I'd seen a link with a Belgian winger yesterday that emerged. So there are bound to be countless others. I think, it's clear that there's been a balance has been struck between kind of, you know, when Neil Warnock has sat down with the recruitment team at the start of the summer, a balance has been struck between kind of players who Warnock knows he can trust and who he'd ordinarily go after, and then others who perhaps have been long-term targets and who fit into maybe a long-term strategy and some planning for the future. So I do think it's been an interesting summer in that sense. And I agree with Warnock in that, and everyone really, in that it's about finding that balance, isn't it, of integrating players who are getting to grips with the championship, but not too many at the same time. And I've written a piece this morning on Martin Piero and just the fact that, you know, time and patience was always going to be necessary for Piero. He's 22 year old. He's played less than 50 games in his homeland. He's not a senior international, and he's been thrust into the kind of cut and thrust of the championship. So I think what Warnock said last week, there's no pressure on Martin. He's told him to kind of enjoy the process of adapting to the English game. He'll play when he's ready. The language barrier certainly makes it more difficult, although Leo Pergovic is now back at Rockcliffe, and that'll be a big help. But I think just giving him the time and letting him flourish when he's ready is when we'll see the best of Piero. What helps Borough as well is the fact that they're well-stocked in midfield with Housen and Morsi and Crooks. So they're not going to beat McNair if you're playing him there. So that kind of takes the pressure off slightly.
Question here from Christian, or rather he's venting his frustration. He says, I don't get why all our deals take so long when other clubs do it so quickly. What would you say to that, Dom?
I think deals take long and negotiations, there are so many complications over the course of a summer. I think what's often the case is, so, and I know this isn't a great example because Lee Peltier was a free agent and there are no complicated matters as such, but that one stayed under wraps. That one didn't get out. So when it was confirmed, you know, you think, well, that happened quickly. Where did that one come from? When in actual fact, it'll have been something that'll have been bubbling under for however long. It's just the fact that we didn't know about it. Whereas I think with With Spira, for example, that came out at the Portugal end. And then, you know what it's like these days, I think with the fact that it really was social media, every kind of small update takes on a mind of its own, doesn't it, and becomes a story in itself. So suddenly kind of something might be deemed a transfer saga when in actual fact it's just like bumping along and hitting the roadblocks that most negotiations and most transfers come across. So I think it's very, very few transfers, especially this summer. You know, it's so difficult. I think Borough have done so well this summer to be so active in a window that was always going to be so difficult, especially coming out of the pandemic. To get, 9 players in already and to still look to get 2 or 3 more in before Tuesday's deadline, given the uncertainty. But I get the frustration because we all love transfers, don't we? And especially when it's kind of players we don't know about and the excitement and the unknown. But I think sometimes the fact that there's the micro analysis of everything kind of plays something out to be a saga when in actual fact that might not be the case.
A couple of people asking about reports over on the continent about a certain Jean-Luc Dompé. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. Reports that Borough have made a £2 million bid for this player. He's a forward, plays for the Belgian team Zult Regem. You can tell I'm not one for pronouncing names. Anything in that, Dom? Have you heard anything about that? And I guess, you know, are Borough still on the outlook for another striker, do you think?
That's the name that I mentioned that emerged on Tuesday, and that was the first I'd heard of that one. The report I'd read had said that Zulter had turned down what was reportedly a bid of 2 million because they wanted 5 million, might have been euros, I think. 5 million feels very unlikely, doesn't it, given we're at the back end of the window now. But as I'd said, with the players who Borough have targeted overseas, you know, I've listed the likes of Piero and Sporar and Van Bergen, and they're just the ones we know about. So there are going to be countless others. So the honest truth is I'm not 100% sure. It's one to perhaps watch and follow in the coming days. I think if Sporar was to come in and Van Bergen, then you wonder then whether Borough would go after another forward, although Warnock did say last week that if Akpom leaves, which he looks increasingly likely to be the case, then he might well need to look at another forward, but he might look at a loan. You know, that's something he's talked about. It might be a Premier League loan if that's a possibility. He'd also said last week that there are a couple of free agents that are still on his radar. Now, one of those is Olasanya, who obviously signed last week. But there might be one or two others kind of floating around. And we know what the transfer window is like. Names will emerge in the last day or two that kind of nobody was expecting and might prompt the mad flurry. I mean, Cabano, for example, in January, I don't think that was expected, even kind of going in opening the last day was more in the final hours of the day, really.
Bit of praise there for you and Craig.
Yeah, I enjoyed
David,
that.
You guys do a good job representing the Gazette in Middlesbrough FC, so thank you for that, David.
Yeah, I noticed it came after him telling us that we get all our stuff from the One Borough Forum, so we'll take the second message.
is there anywhere else they're looking, do you think, to strengthen? I mean, I know Joe Bennett's been mentioned. I think he's got a few options, so he's just weighing up where he goes. But I mean, what's the latest on that? And do you think, are there any other priorities Warnock's targeting?
Left side of defence, left wing back, kind of left side centre half, left back is obviously an area that Warnock has talked a lot about. Mark Bowler's the only kind of orthodox by trade left back in the squad now. Hayden Coulson's gone. Joe Bennett is a free agent. Cardiff, unsurprisingly, didn't offer him a new deal, despite the fact they did, but I think they couldn't agree over the terms and the length of a contract, what the player wanted, what Cardiff offered. He's 31 now, Bennett, 9 years on since he left Borough for Aston Villa. he was a big player for Warnock in the promotion season. And from what I understand, he thoroughly enjoyed playing for Warnock in that season. Warnock has talked a lot about players he trusts, players who he knows what to expect from week in, week out. And he's already gone back to Cardiff for the likes of Saul Bamba and Lee Peltier and Nathaniel Mendes-Lang last season. So it comes as no surprise to hear that contact's been made.
Just on that, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, he likes to trust players he's had previously. Does that always work, though? Does that not maybe sometimes leave him open to a bit of sentimental, you know, where his heart rules his head? Or is Warnock very switched on the case that, yes, you know, he likes these relationships, but he's ready to, you know, pull the ladder up if they've dropped the standards and they're not right for his current style?
Well, I think Mendes-Lang's a prime example of that, in that he offered Mendes-Lang the short-term contract in January and clearly thought, you know, I've got the best out of him before, I can do it again. And you know, my expectation was he'll give him half a season to get up to speed, then there'll be the offer of a contract in the summer and we might see the best of Mendes-Lang this summer. For whatever reason, that isn't the case. And I'm reading reports now that Sheffield Wednesday are in for him. He's still a free agent, Mendes-Lang. I think Warnock will only, again, Saul Bamba, Warnock has stressed again and again that there's no sentimental, you know, he hasn't been fueled by sentimentality in signing Bamba. He bought him in to get him fit, has been blown away by how fit he was and clearly thought he can offer something, even if it's not as a regular week in, week out, he can offer something around the place. And I think that was the key reason with Lee Peltier as well. And Borough do need that experience and nous. I think he'll be signing the footballer now and not the footballer 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, Bennett is one of 4 or 5, well, at least, targets that Borough have had at left back. We know Kieran Brown is someone who Warnock's looked at. It was Warnock who signed Kieran Brown from non-league at Cardiff. Jake Bidwell as well, although there seems to be Borough and Swansea are quite far away in their valuation of the player, given that his contract's up in the summer. I think the left back area is something that we'll see strengthened over the coming days.
Before we talk about the draw with Derby, I just want to get this question from David. And he says, nice to see the recruitment team preparing for life after Warnock, regardless of what league we are in. He says, he's got a question for you, Dom, which is, do you think these foreign signings have been given the Warnock approval? Previous comments saying he wanted championship experience says a lot to me.
Yeah, I think that's where I talked about the balance between the two, really, in that, you know, these players are coming in and Warnock has said, you know, Pop Martin Piero is the example. You know, he's not ready to go straight in. I think Andros Sparrar will be different in that he'll be hopefully be signed and ready to get straight in amongst it. He's played in Europe. He's 4 or 5 years older. He's played in Europe for a number of years. But I think it's that balance really between bringing in the players who've played in the championship, who know what it's all about, the likes of Matt Crooks and Uche Ikpeazu. And I think the thing with the likes of Crooks and Ikpeazu is, although they come in with championship experience, they come in with very much a point to prove, in that for both, this is their big move, really. Crooks, I know, has played for Rangers, but he's previously talked about how that move didn't work out and he thought that was his chance of a big move with respect to the other clubs that he's played for gone. And Ikpeazu, who's kind of been on a ladder, really, a one-way trajectory. And again, this is his big move. So I think it's about finding that balance between bringing in players with a long-term strategy in mind, and also kind of twinning that with players who will help to make Warnock's system work in the short term, as the manager looks to kind of get more success from an approach that he knows works for him in this division. So I do think it's quite a delicate balancing act that we've seen Borough try to execute this summer.
Yeah, 100%. We'll talk about that game against Derby then, 0-0 draw. What positives did you take from it, and what negatives stood out, Dom?
I think, first of all, a positive is the first clean sheet. I think it was 13 games without a clean sheet last season and this. So to get that is a step forward. And for Joe Lumley as well, because, you know, he'd conceded that soft goal against his former club QPR 4 days earlier. Warnock joked that he told him in the hotel not to worry about it. It was rubbish, but to forget about it now and to focus on the next game. And Lumley, you know, he made two good saves in the first half and an excellent save in the second half, but he bossed his box so well as well throughout. And Derby had their moments, but Burren never really looked stretched. The disappointment was in the first half, and Warnock admitted he Burren perhaps worried too much about Derby in the first half and then got on the front foot in the second half and went at them, and Jones came to life. Tavernier, who looked understandably a bit rusty in the first half given his lack of football, his influence started to grow. And although Burren, you know, they didn't particularly pin Derby back, but you did feel if any team was going to win it, it was going to be Burren. It's by no means a bad point away from home, but I think Burren probably the team coming away thinking, yeah, if we'd have put our foot down a bit more in the first half and just had that bit more quality and thought in the second half, we could have won that one.
We've got Callan here talking about Sam Morsy back in, saying he was looking at his best. That was a huge plus.
Yeah, I think in the first half, he didn't quite have the... Burren missed his kind of steel and tenacity against QPR. I'd seen it, someone mentioned in the comments earlier that McNair and Housen struggled a bit against QPR, and they did. Burren lost control in that game, particularly in the second half. Morsy's return, I thought, on the back of that was inevitable at Derby. And he did what you'd expect of him in the first half. But then in the second half, when Housen came on and Burren tinkered with the shape ever so slightly, and Dyke Steele went back to right back. And with Housen and Morsy in there, I thought Burren completely took control there. But yeah, I agree. I think Morsy offers something that the others don't. And I would expect him to keep his place for Blackburn this weekend.
We've got a special visitor, haven't we, up at Rockcliffe this week. Someone who's particularly fast over 100 metres, Richard Keelty. He won silver medal in the 4x100 relay at the Tokyo Olympics last month. So he knows what he's doing. Just explain what you know about this little visit up to the training ground.
He'd been to the Riverside for the Bristol City game as a special guest. He'd done the lounges with Jeff Winter beforehand, kind of had a chat with fans and stuff, and then was introduced on the pitch with his medals. But then yesterday, Burren had put pictures on and video of Keelty at Rockcliffe. He'd gone over to meet the players, but then he'd done a session with a group of players, a speed session on the afternoon, and it was all really about kind of speed mechanics, helping the players kind of make the most of the speed and how to get the most of their explosive speed, but also working on kind of injury prevention when at full speed as well. And you know, Keelty's been around for that long now. And I know that he's got plans. You know, he's got an academy. He's got plans to go into coaching long term. And when you speak to him, he kind of speaks with so much enthusiasm about the sport of athletics and about kind of getting people into sport, getting youngsters into sport. I know this is different working with Burren's first team, but he's got so much to pass on that I think. You know, that kind of coaching side of it is going to come naturally to him. He's done bits with Burren in the past. He's been to Rockcliffe in the past, and Darren Campbell has as well. Darren Campbell actually went over to work. We've reported this on numerous occasions, but he worked with Adama Traore when Traore was at Burren. His advice for Traore was to slow down, really. Even when you slow down, you're still faster than any other player. And that gives you that bit more opportunity and that bit more time to actually think about what you're going to do with the ball when you get to where you want to be.
Who do you reckon is the fastest at Burren?
I think Jones would take some beating. Isaiah Jones would take some beating. Warnock was saying last week in his press conference that Olasanya, or Mr. T as he calls him, is pretty sharp as well. So he might take some stopping as well. But I think my money would be on Jones, I think.
Before we talk about Blackburn at home and obviously the return of Tony Mowbray, a few questions, Dom, on how Burren are setting up, how they're playing. So we'll go first off, just on the conversation we had about the midfield and Morsy, we've got Mark saying he agrees with you, and I think it was Callan who said Morsy was looking at his best, but he still feels Housen and McNair are more favoured by Warnock.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that, because I think Warnock loves them all as players and as characters. Howson's the club captain. So more often than not, you think Howson's going to play. He signed Morsi, and as I said, Morsi kind of offers that bit more steel, that's something different. And McNair last year was described as the best player Neil Warnock's ever managed. So it's a tricky one. I thought McNair, I've always thought he's a bit wasted at the back, and he offers so much going forward. But I thought at the back he was he strolled through, he coasted through on Saturday. And I watched that and thought, I can see Warnock now reverting to playing him at the back. I mean, he said last year, didn't he, he's a top-class centre-half, he's an average midfielder, and I've told him that. And then at the back end of the year, he played him in midfield when his hand was forced a bit, really. So it wouldn't surprise me if we see all of them in there somehow. Perhaps McNair in a back three, and then Howson and Morsi in the two. But then it's fitting, you know, Crooks in and the new signings, and then Piero when he gets up to speed. But I suppose there, you know, Warnock will tell you he'd much prefer that than to be stretched and the team picking itself every week, because he doesn't have the options.
It's like we almost planned that, because the question that I just put on the screen there is from David. And he says, a number of fans say in the midfield struggling with McNair and Howson as two in the middle. Do you think a back three works better with McNair moved into defence on a permanent basis? You've kind of just alluded to your answer.
Yeah, I like McNair in a back three because he can step out and almost become that midfielder. And you know that third midfielder or the second midfielder, depending on what shape you're playing. And you know he's got the security of Fry or Hall behind. I mean, I'll be honest, I quite like Dyke Steele on the right-hand side of a back three as well. But then obviously the injury to Darnell Fisher, you know, right wing back. You have got Jed Spence, but he's played more of his football in an advanced position. But yeah, I think we'll see more of McNair in the defence. Although interestingly, we've probably seen Borough. I expected a back three, given that they played a lot that way in a lot of pre-season. But in actual fact, we've seen more of a back four in the early weeks of the season so far.
And we'll wrap up then with the visit of Blackburn this weekend. I see Tony Mowbray returning back to the Riverside. What are you expecting it's Saturdays, and what are you expecting from Blackburn?
They always come and, you know, from a Mogga side, they're always going to come and play. And it was a difficult summer for Mowbray because their season really petered out last season. There seemed to be a bit of disgruntlement in the fan base. They've lost Adam Armstrong, but they've started well. I know they got beat by West Brom at the weekend, but that's no disgrace. I think Borough's draw against Fulham on the opening weekend is looking better by the week, because Fulham and West Brom look very strong. I think Blackburn will come and try and play, but Borough will try and rough them up, I think. And it was interesting, Wayne Rooney was saying at the weekend that in the second half, Derby fell into the trap of playing the game Borough wanted them to play. And I think that's what Borough will try and do against Blackburn on Saturday. I think it'll be a tight game, but I fancy Borough to edge it.
That's what we like to hear. Well, thank you to you guys watching on Facebook and listening later on the podcast. Like I say, please remember to like and subscribe. We will have Craig Johns back next week. He's going to be covering Warnock's press conference on Friday and then the game against Blackburn as well. So we'll have a full team hopefully next week, which I'm sure you guys are all looking forward to. In the meantime, head over to Gazette Live to cover all the latest Middlesbrough FC news.